Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, former Real Housewife of Potomac.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, author of the New York Times bestseller, I Can't Date Jesus. And this is Undomesticated, the podcast where we aren't just saying the quiet parts out loud.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. If you're ready for some bold takes and a little bit of chaos, welcome to Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
We are live in Kennesaw. It is Twin Peaks. It is Dukes and Bell. And thank you for being here. As always, big shout out to Tinker who brought us gifts. I think you're going to talk about this a little bit later on, Day-Day, and what's on your mind as he brought us some candy. And I was kind of like, what's all this about? And then you guys were explaining. So stick around. There's a fun backstory. But our man Dave Archer is here. He is the analyst for our Atlanta Falcons. You hear him weekly on the Falcon Radio Network with our man Wes Durham. They do a terrific job. It is now, what, Arch, 20, I think I asked you guys, it's 23, 22 years of calling these Falcon games. They've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. And thanks for coming out here, man. First of all, appreciate you stopping out here at Twin Peaks.
Yeah, you guys are out in my neighborhood. I had to come out and roll with Dukes and Bell for a little while.
Appreciate that, man. Thank you so much. All right. There's just so many places we could start, but I think let's start with what you witnessed and saw and your take of the offense on Sunday, because, again, we were struggling against, you know, a defense that we thought, hey, maybe we could take advantage of, specifically against the run, and then, Arch, we didn't necessarily run it that well, and then we went away from it. What are your impressions of what you saw on Sunday against our last opponent?
Yeah, it was a dysfunctional effort, if you will, offensively. There's a lot of reasons why you kind of short-circuit offensively, okay? I know you guys and I know the fans want to put their finger on one particular person.
Yes.
That just doesn't work. That's not the way it is. There's too many variables on offense. Just for instance, okay, Kirk Cousins I didn't think played very well at all. Okay, if I'm calling plays and my quarterback's not operating, what am I supposed to do with that? You know? You didn't block very well up front. I thought that Charlie Warner had one of his worst games of this season. I looked at the tape, and Charlie's you're running I formation ISO through the middle, which we ran successfully against Minnesota. It looks like an I formation. You're in the pistol set, much to Mike's disdain.
Yes.
But you motion Charlie across, and then Charlie leads up on the backer. So it's essentially I formation coming downhill. He's got to get up on the backer. He trips and falls down. Backer blows the play up for no gain. Okay. He's out on the edge. Now, it's a tough assignment, but Bradley Chubb knifes to the inside. He's got to cut him off to create that crease where Bijan can get upfield. It blows it up. So, and Charlie wasn't the only guy. And you heard Raheem talk about we didn't play well up front. When he says up front, he's not just talking about the five offensive linemen. He's talking about if we go two tight end sets, that concludes Pitts blocking in that, Charlie Warner blocking that. Kadarius Hodge did a couple of really good things from a blocking standpoint. So that was dysfunctional. Okay, now you've got a receiver core that was not on the same page on a couple of situations with Kirk. Okay, Kirk changes a play at the line of scrimmage. David Sills doesn't even get the change. Okay, and they're up bump playing man. Kirk checked to a zone scheme pass, and they're playing man coverage. So Sills doesn't get the route. You even see his throw. He throw his hands up like this, like, what, what? And then he runs the man adjustment. Kirk throws the zone read. And so that's dysfunctional, okay? Now, do you blame the offensive coordinator for that? I just don't know how you can go down that route. Now, from a creative standpoint, and I know that's this is something you guys have talked about, sometimes when creative is there, but if creative doesn't work, it doesn't show up. I may try to do a couple of different things, and it doesn't show up. We had a 3-by-1 set where we've got Kadarrell Hodge on one side of the field, and you got three receivers with Pitts and two other receivers on right side. They're going to come up and play bump man coverage. It's 4th and 4. It's a conversion situation. I'm going to glance at the fade in case he wins clean, and I'm going to take the shot. That's the only reason you would go there. Okay. Otherwise, I'm going to work the 3-man game over here with a rub or whatever to get the first down and extend the drive. That's what has to happen from an operational standpoint as a quarterback. So I've got the call that comes in from Zach. He's got a man beater on the right side with the 3-man with the 3-man set, and I've got a fade over here. I glance to see if he wins. Kadarrell wins. He doesn't. I get off it and I come back over here and I work the 3-man game. Okay, get me a first down, extend the drive. Kirk throws the fade right out of bounds.
And it was ugly. Right.
Well, you've got Kadarrell Hodge working against a 6'2 corner.
Yeah. That's
not Drake London over right. there.
Wasn't
okay, a 6'5 wide receiver that you might take a shot on a 1-on-1, you know, 50-50 ball. Those are the kind of things that are happening, especially have happened in the last couple of weeks. It hadn't just been with Kirk. Obviously, we made some mistakes against the 49ers. The young quarterback made a couple mistakes in that game. So, yes, there is culpability with the guy calling the plays. And remember, it's a collaborative effort on the offensive staff to put the game plan together. He's not sitting in a room all by himself coming up with what they're going to do. All these guys are watching tape. They're getting data. They're putting, okay, here's what we want. Here's our 3 plays or 5 first plays on third down. These are the 5 first plays we want to read in the red zone. So it's a collaborative. Now, yes, Zach's calling the plays, but now as a team, as a unit, I got to go out and execute that stuff. And so if you're kind of missing on different levels, coaching, you're missing on play calling or missing on plays, running the plays, how you're diagnosing the plays, you can see how things get all discombobulated, right?
And the Mooney, when Mooney was open, and Kirk Sales, that's Kirk slapping him.
Horrible throw.
I still can't believe I saw that. Dave Arch is with us, guys. We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, kind of doing the debrief on what happened with the Dolphins. I guess the question when I'm critical of Zach is, when do you say, okay, I'm going to go away from the run game? I think it was 14-3. Obviously, it's not Zach's fault that Bijan drops the ball off his knee and fumbles it. But when do you feel like in the San Francisco game, do you feel do we give the commitment to the run game? Or you say they're run blitzing, there was no way around it?
Well, you
it just seems like
it,
a plan B, I guess.
You have to take advantage of what they're trying to do. And so now, If I'm in one of the meeting rooms, and obviously I'm not, but and this is just me talking. It's not the Falcon people are talking. So what I'm going to do is, okay, the last 2 games I've had under 300 yards of offense. This is coming off of back-to-back games where I had 450 yards of offense against Washington and Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Two decent teams. I think we there's some credibility to those two teams. So, and I'm talking about their defense. I'm not talking about who they had playing a quarterback. I'm talking about going against those defenses. So then you come back and you have 2 subpar performances. What's going on? So how do I got to look at, okay, is there something that we're doing that there's a tell? It's like the card game. Okay, am I touching my ear when I've got a full house? Or whatever. Is there something that I'm showing from a formation standpoint or a movement standpoint that's giving them the idea I can come downhill right now with my linebackers. I don't have to worry about play action. That would be the first thing I'm trying to figure out, okay? The second thing I'm going to figure out is if there is something like that, how do we simulate that in the games coming up where I use that as my advantage?
Right.
So, okay, I know there was a lot of conversation. I thought Mike McDaniel did some really cool stuff with the Dolphins. Tua threw 26 balls in there. 20 of the 26 passes, maybe 22 of the 26 passes, he gave him one place to throw the ball. There was no reading anything because he had thrown 6 interceptions in the last 2 games.
He took it out of his hands.
Took the game completely away from him.
Yep.
Okay. But they had some cool designs. I talked to Raheem yesterday on his coach's show. I don't know who all listens. Maybe everybody turns that off. But and I wouldn't blame you because I'm doing it. So
No. By the way, it's on right after we get done on Monday, 6 o'clock. Make sure you check it out because it is the follow-up to the day after, and you do get some really good insight. Go ahead.
Well, in it, I asked my first question was, what is the identity of this team? What is the identity? Right. How much does it resemble what you want it to be? He says our identity is what you guys have talked about, being able to run the football, play action, do some things off of that. When they take that away, what are the counters? That's the other piece of this that when you start talking about from a coaching standpoint, what are my counters? What is the staff coming up with that I can come off of sticking the ball in Bijan Robinson's belly? And I know you talked about play action before, Mike, and stuff. And it doesn't matter what formation you're in.
Whether it's pistol or under center,
you can do it. And we did some of it in the game. When you only have the ball for 49 plays, I don't know how much you're going to get to your game plan anyway. But so there's the thought. You're getting back to what you were talking about, running the football. Okay, it's 14-3. What did it get to? Was it 14-3 at halftime?
17-3.
Bijan fumbles at 17-3, and that was basically the game because Miami goes and scores at that point.
Driving to make it a one-score game. Bijan lays the ball on the ground, and they go down and score. That was probably mid to late third quarter. That changes the dynamic now because you're down three scores. You were running the ball in that series, if you guys remember. We only ran 17 plays in the first half.
Yeah.
So when you look at, how many times – half of them were probably run plays, you know. So on 17 plays, you're not getting much to digest from a run game standpoint. And in that drive, you're running the football. You're throwing the screens and stuff like that, but running the ball. And Bijan's on a run, he coughs the football up. Now you're down three scores. It changes the dynamic. So now I've got to sprinkle the run game in, and I've got to throw the football. And if quarterback's not playing very well and you can't protect – then you look like you did in this game.
And it looked like, it was a situation where our offense was inept. Dave Archer's our guest, guys. We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. It's Dukes and Bell. The biggest thing that's concerning for me, Arch, and I totally buy into everything you're talking about because it's a daisy chain, right? I mean, it is one thing to the next thing to the next thing, and if you're going to execute and have these scores, all this stuff's got to be working. But the one thing that's bothering me is the communication. Regardless of if it's Michael Penix or if it's Kirk Cousins or if it's Seals or if it's Drake or if it's Pitts, communication breakdowns have been a problem through the first 7 weeks of the season. Offensively, getting play calls in, that's communication. Whether it's the quarterback, getting those calls in. You talked about, wanting to change a play. Why are we consistently having those issues? Because to me, that is also a part of this breakdown that you're talking about and the failure of this offense working at its best.
Yeah, but I don't think I hear what you're saying about the communication, and it kind of was magnified in the Carolina game, right? I mean, there was a little bit because and I wish you guys could have been in Minnesota and saw what that atmosphere was like. I mean, that was really difficult atmosphere to play in. I've played in a couple of those, played in New Orleans, played in the Old Kingdom in Seattle. It was hard to hear in those places. And so getting information out, I could see where there'd be a little bit of miscommunication there. When you transfer forward, we haven't had those since the Carolina game when it comes to quarterback coach on the sideline communication. Now, the one that I spoke about in this game was quarterback relaying information.
Taking care of your eyes shouldn't be a hassle. That's why Warby Parker is a one-stop shop for all your vision needs. Our prescription glasses and sunglasses are expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Stop by a nearby store or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. Did we mention we offer eye exams and take vision insurance too? For everything you need to see, head to your nearest Warby Parker store or visit warbyparker.com today. That's warbyparker.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
To the receiver. You're talking about David Sills. How much has Sills played this year?
Right.
How much has Kirk Cousins played this year? So you could see where there'd be a little bit of a miscommunicate there. So I think that they've quelled that problem significantly when it comes from a communication standpoint.
We got to catch a break. Dave Arch is going to hang for two. We got Double Arch live here at Twin Peaks. I want to ask you about when things are going the way they were, why can't Pitts be more of a focal point for the offense? We'll get Dave's answer on that when we come back. Also, the J.D. Bertrand thing and why the Dolphins seem to be able to exploit that part of the field. We'll get into that, Carl, coming up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, and this is Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.